Alright, so yesterday we learned a very profound idea that the Gemara was telling us. Again, Nachum Shem ben Gamliel was saying, he was like bemoaning almost the fact that according to his estimation, his Avodas Hashem, Rav Shem ben Gamliel, should have taken him to a Madrega of like Mordechai and Esther, Moshe Rabbeinu, where he should have identified his body as his ruchnistic body, and his physical body in his estimation, he should have reached the Madriga, that his physical body is like just a means of transport, like mamish. But he wasn't zeichet to that. That's called the guf toif. And he wasn't zeichet to that. He didn't know why. To that, the answer is shtika. Sisrei Torah, the Rabbanu Shlomo needed Rav Shimon ben Gamliel to be sort of held back, you know, instead of from graduating, you know, to the next class. He had to be held back in order for the tikkun that Klal Yisrael needed of him, because he needed to be one of the Asura Gemalchus. And in order for, again, whatever the reason is, whatever the Indian is, but in order for the Asura Gemalchus to be Poyal, what Klal Yisrael needed, they needed to go through the suffering of being killed. And the suffering of being killed is only shaykh if you identify yourself with your body, with your physical body. So he needed to go through that shtika, that shtaik, like when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu about the Asura Gemalchus, shtaik kachal machshav lechonai. So it's a very, very, you know, it's an Ishbet Tzedekah idea where they're like the Rabbanu Shlomo, you know, sort of interjects in Bechira, right? Because like the normal process is like Hashem set the rules. The rules are you do your thing and you graduate. That's the... But Hashem sometimes says, no, you have to be held back. There's such a thing. So it's for the sake of other Yidden. So it's a wondrous idea. It's one of those things that like all these types of vinyanim, and Ishbet Tzedekah, it's always taught, it's not so much, it's just a matter of you, of the reason why we're even being told this idea, what's the purpose of us knowing this? Really just as a tool to use at the right time. You know, it's like sometimes a person feels down that they don't seem to be as great as they should be. And those thoughts, to feel that you should graduate, so to speak, it could cause one of two reactions. Either sometimes it could create an emotional reaction of okay, so I have to push harder, and that's good. Then don't think about this type. But then other times it feels like oh you're miyayish, like so what's the point? Like Hashem is rejecting me. So then you think about this type. No, Hashem's not rejecting you. Hashem needs you for the sake of other yidden to be in the madriga that you're in. So it's just a matter of using these ideas at the right time, the right way, because you always have to keep on moving weiter. So sometimes, depending on, you know, different strategies in order to keep the feet moving. So this is one of those, you know, tools in the toolbox of you know, of when a person needs it. So that's one shot.
That through the shtika, he ultimately gets that.
That's going to... Well, he's not zeichet to it in Olam Hazeh.
Right.
In Olam Hazeh, for sure, of course. But and more than that, the schus of being one of the Asura Gemalchus, that's a gewaldige schus, you know? I don't remember the name of the tzaddik, but there was I think it was one of the Rosh Hashivas of pre-war Europe. He was on a train in like the late 30s or so. He was on a train somewhere in Germany, Austria, and there was a bunch of like Nazis on the train. It was before the war, but they were, you know, pushing them around, you know, threatening them, and obviously it was very scary. And the next stop, they just got off, you know. Just and Baruch Hashem, when they were walking away, so I think it was Rosh Hashiva with his son. I think that's what it was. I don't remember the name of the Rosh Hashiva, but the son noticed that his Rosh Hashiva was like that. The father was like krechzing. It's like krechzing. So he asked his father, "What's wrong?" It was Baruch Hashem, we got off the train. Everything, we're okay. So he's like, "Yeah, no, I'm happy that we're off the train. Obviously, that's what we had to do. But it bothered me a little bit that we weren't killed at Kiddush Hashem." Because like to be killed on Kiddush Hashem is such a gewaltige madrig, it's like obviously you have to get off the train, you know, you're not supposed to keep put yourself, but it's like it's a shtickle, you know, so yeah, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is like okay, the madriga of guf toiv he wasn't zeichet to, but you know, to be a Asura Gemalchus, you know, but again, obviously you don't want that, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And Rabbi Kiva represents the Asura Gemalchus of Mesiris Nefesh like that. Rabbi Shimon, who's the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, teaches Mesiris Nefesh with life. So a person can be zaycha to Mesiris Nefesh with life in a good way. But I'll go upon him, that's the idea of Shtika. So let's see the next pshat, and we'll And we'll stop. So he says, Ulagirsa, right, in page Lamech Ches? Yeah? Ulagirsa Mishtika. So evidently there was another girsa in the Rishayim that instead of, again, the words are Kol Yame Gidalte, page Lamech Ches, yeah? So he says, there was another girsa that Kol Yame Gidalte Bein HaChachamim. Again, our girsa is Kol Yame Gidalte Bein HaChachamim V'loi Metzasi L'guf Toiv Ela Shtika. But evidently there was another girsa of V'loi Metzasi L'guf Toiv Ela Mishtika. So what does it mean, Mishtika, according to this? So now, according to this other girsa of Mishtika, it's telling us an Eitzah. How a person can be Zaycha to a Guf Toiv? The answer is Mishtika. So he says, Hu Pashit, the explanation of this girsa is Pashit. Ka'idei Shtika, Yizka L'Ruach HaKadosh. That through silence, a person is Zaycha to Ruach HaKadosh. In other words, this is the answer to Rishon Gamliel's question. Lo Metzasi L'Guf Toiv. Why am I, you know, how is a person zaycha to a guf toiv? Ella mishtika. So a person can do mitzvahs and do all those things, but there's another ingredient that's needed in order to really sort of like, instead of just accumulating mitzvahs and madregas that you'll once upon it, that you'll eventually experience in Olam Haba, how do you experience it in Olam Haza? How do you sort of access that? Mishtika, through the avoid of silence. So he says, that's what needs to be zaycha to Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh means, what's Ruach HaKadosh? Ruach HaKadosh means that a person is like a ben olam haba. You know, it's like the madregas that you're accumulating with your mitzvahs. You're able to tap into that. That's through shtika. The guf toiv chluka derabanan mazir ma'oik ara shemesh. And then the guf toiv, right? It's another term for it in this farm is chluka derabanan, the clothing of a talmid chacham. That's what it means. This guf toiv. Mazir Ma'id, it's shining, it's illuminating. Ka'ara Shemesh, Kenoid Misefer Chassidim, as it's known from the Sefer Chassidim, I'll tell you what that is in a moment. Meron Hari, and also from the Rizal, Shemazir Lamait B'Dibur Sheinu Hechroth. The Rizal was very, very cautious. He told the Rechaim Vital that in order to be Zaycha to Ruach HaKadosh and certain Madrigas, you have to be Mamait B'Dibur. You see this by certain tzaddikim that they're very careful, not talking a lot, and like very, very quiet. So it's a big avoid. What's he talking about for Sefer Chassidim? So on the bottom, they quote it over here. Right, you don't have it, right? So there's a maisa that from the Sefer Chassidim that he says like this. Again, just listen outside. This is, again, Sefer Chassidim is from the Rishayim. So he quotes a story. It must have been way back. Chassid Echad, a certain chassid. Shnezgal le'ishtay b'chaloyim. Again, this chassid Nebuchadnezzar, and he appeared to his wife in a dream. And in this dream, she saw her husband that his hair, the hair on his head, the hair of his beard, were shining like a navuka, like a torch. They were very illuminated. That's what she saw in the dream. Again, like we would say, okay, it's not a dream. And even if she thought it's real, Sefer Chassidim quotes it. Obviously, Sefer Chassidim verified. However, he's able to verify that it's real. So anyway, v'shal isa ishtai. So his wife asked him, "B'mazachis lakach? With what were you zaycha to have such an illuminated guf toif? Right? That's the guf in olam haba, right? So what were you zaycha to that? The heishiv. So he said, "Hagam sheisi chassid al kol zeh la yisi zaycha l'arkezeh." So he responded that even though I was a chassid, all of my mitzvahs and avodas Hashem, I wouldn't have been zaycha to this nakuda that my guf toiv should be shining. Rak b'shvil sheyisi memayit b'dibur, she'enish al Torah. But because I had this inyan of not speaking, trying to be memayit in words that are not she'enish al Torah v'yira, things that are not about avodas Hashem and so on. V'akadosh Baruch Hu ha'mishgiach alai b'zeh, Hashem paid attention to this avoda. So this was my reward that my guf should be shining like this. That's the ma'isa that he quotes. Reishis Chacham also quotes it. He says over here. So it's a That's what he's referring to over here. So there's an avoid of shtika, and he goes on to say, based on this, he explains in the rest of the Mishnah, right? So again, that's the girsa of mishtika. So lemitzasi leguf toiv ella mishtika, from silence. So and he goes, medrash continues, v'loi ha medrash hua ikar, right? Again, the last words are that medrash means like learning, right? V'loi ha medrash hua ikar ella ha'maisa. So in this context, v'loi ha medrash hua ikar lezakech gufay, that even Torah. Talmud Torah connected kulam v'chulu v'chulu, but Torah, even medrash learning, doesn't have this skula, this kayach of illuminating one's guf toiv lezakech gufay, to purify one's body. El ha'maisa ka'idei maisim toivim yizke latalas no b'gan Eden, through Maisim Tovim in particular, and again, obviously with this Avoid of Shtika as well, but Maisim Tovim has this way of illuminating the Guf. V'cholomar b'dvarim, l'daber b'gaivu, b'dvarim b'telem, but the more a person talks, again, the opposite of Mishtika, right? The more a person talks, and specifically with Gaiva and dvarim b'telem, maybe chet brings sin. What does it mean over here, chet? Chet means chisarn, and it's chisarn b'tikun guf ha-kadosh. It goes against the, you know, so again, with silence and maisim tovim, the body becomes illuminated. And with marbe b'dvarim, to talk too much, and especially words of guidance on yeshus, that damages the guf kaddish. K'mavur b'sefer chasidim, mimaisa d'hai chasid, which is, again, the story that he's referencing, that the milo shtik, and mimela, the issue of the other way around. So that's it's an avoid. A person, you know, obviously, depends on the situation in life. So, you know, you have to be able to talk, whatever it is. But the more a person, you know, there's a klal that a person always has to. Silence can be defined in two ways, right? There's a maisa with the kotzker. I've mentioned this before. There was a yid that he read in a Talmud Velyo. It's the medrash that if a person doesn't speak for 40 days, he says like a tainus divur, you know, for 40 days, then he's zaycha to gilu Elio. So there's a maisa that a chassid wants to meet Elio Navi. So he doesn't talk for 40 days. And he's waiting, you know, by shkia, whatever. He's waiting for the door to open, you know. No one's there. Elio doesn't come. So he goes to the kotzker. The Rizhner. The Rizhner. I think it was the Rizhner. So he goes to the Rizhner, and the Rizhner used to go with like chashav horses, like a, you know, malchus. So the mice I heard was that this he didn't even ask, they didn't even say anything, but the Rizhner, he saw him, whatever. The Rizhner comes off the wagon, and this yid comes close, and the Rizhner says, "No, Yanka, look at my horses over here. Such an unbelievable horse. This horse hasn't spoken Dvarim B'Telem in 40 days." So what's the message? It's not a chiddush for a horse not to talk, right? You know, there's an inyan of not talking, but you have to be a person. If you're a horse that doesn't talk, he's also not zaychet to madregas, right? So what does it mean to be shaysek? So if a guy's quiet, goes, it's not void of shtika. Void of shtika means to be nish pnimi, right? If a person, it's all relative, right? So if a person talks, as long as there's much more that you're not saying, that's cool, being quiet. But if a person doesn't talk, there's nothing to say, because he's a horse, it's not a void, it's not a madrega of silence. So if a person is forced in life to talk, the situation, you know, parnasa, life, learn, you know, the situations you have to talk. The ikar is, and it's a big cloud, by the way, there always has to be more that you're not saying than you are. There always has to be more pnimi that you're not sharing than the chitzaini that you are sharing. It's a big, big yisite. It always has to be like that. Huh? It has to be like that. It has to be like that. So the more a person shares, the more a person is out there, all the more so you have to build within yourself an inner life, an inner dimension that you're not sharing. Because the ratio always has to be, you know, again, it could be megala tefach, like the Lashon is the Mekubalim used by, you know, megala tefach, you reveal the tefach, and you're mechasa alpaim amma, and you're hovering, covering over 2,000 ammas. So whatever the ratio is, it certainly has to be a little bit more than 50-50, right? So that's the avoid of shtika. So when you're more of an ish pnimi, then you're zaycha to a guf tayv. Yeah?
How does one know what's a little, what's a lot, what's more, what's less?
Well, you have to always, you know, it's like the Rambam says, it's an halacha also. A person has to, whatever you say, you have to be shaykel, you have to weigh what you say. Is what you're saying needed? Again, a person can become like obsessed about like, oh, an extra word here, an extra word there. That's also chitzanius thing. It's like the whole inyan of shtika means to be in ish pnimi. And if the person is caught up in the exercise of being quiet in a chitzanius stick away, then it undermines, you're missing the point. The point is to be an ish pnimi. You know, once there's, the more a person develops a pnimius, then automatically you're going to be less inclined to talk frivolously. You know, it's like, whatever, without going into pratim, the more pnimi a person is, the more automatically there are things that you just stay away from. I don't mean bad things, that's obvious. I'm talking about even just, like I'll give you an example. You know, let's say You know, let's say, you know, if a person goes to like a ball game, you know, baseball, whatever these. So you see by the goyim, right? It's only children. Children are children, but adults that they it's one. I understand you have persons of fans. So you're into it. I get it. But it's such a madriga where a person loses their mind and they're like yelling and screaming, right? I'm not talking, they're yelling and screaming nice things. It's not bad. But it's like, so what's that? So the avodah of shtika is like, I want to yell and scream, but I'm going to hold myself back. Okay, that's a madriga. It's like, when you're in ishpnimi, even if you won the ball game, you know, it's a loser. It's, you know, so it's like, that's an avodah of shtika. It was like, automatically, you're not going to be that, you're not going to be, open and like that with your emotions on the sleeve to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, to a certain degree, that was the mile of like the Litvisha, like an old school Litvak. So obviously, you know, compared to Polish Chassidim, so Litvak is cold and emotionless. But a person never met like a real Litvak, like them is, a real Litvak is not the pshat that they don't have emotion. It means it's like, it's very hidden. It's very panini. It's very panini. So on the outside, you know, it's like this. That's what I remember. I read this once when Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So I don't remember the exact years. Maybe people know. I don't know exactly when Rav Soloveitchik. So when Rav Soloveitchik and his father Rav Moshe were separating, Rav Soloveitchik was going to America, I think. I don't know the pratim, however it happened. But there was a point in time where him and his father separated, and it was like you might not ever see each other again. And the last thing they did is they shook hands. So, like Soloveitchik said once, he said that someone that was watching that would have said, "Oh, that's Brisker Lundis." You know, it's like shaking. You might not see this person. Your own son, your own father. You want to see each other again? A hug, a kiss, something, cry, shaking hands. What's pshat? They didn't love each other. That was the way. It was like very, very pneumy. Very, very pneumy. Very, very pneumy. To the point of where on the outside, you mamish. So obviously, it's very hard to, as Soloveitchik talked about this also, that in Yiddishkeit as well, like that way, it's very hard to transmit to the kids. That means that when you're transmitting Torah and Avodah and just humanity to the next generation, you're not, it has to sort of, you're trusting that it travels through osmosis, right? But that happens very easily when you're still in Europe, you know what I mean? And the environment is such that it's conducive for that transmission without words. But the problem is the other side of the ocean, different world, different culture, and you're still just shaking hands and you're not verbalizing and expressing and giving any chitzanitic expression to that inner world of Pnimi, then the kid doesn't know that inner world of Pnimi. So the kids knew it in the earlier generations because they were, it's like, you know, it's like you have a pot, like Indian cooking, there's such a thing. Like an Indian family, they'll have a pot from Dairis. So they cooked in this pot for generations. So then even if you put something in the pot that's a little bit bland, the bliyas from the pot gives it. So when you're in Voloshin, right, in the same walls that Chaim Voloshiner was learning there, so even if, It comes. The blias give. But if you're not in Voloshin, so what do you do? So then, all there is just a handshake, and then the kids just feel just a handshake. That's not good. So you have to. Again, that's the thing of giving over penis, but in a way of saying it be megal the chitzanis, but in a way that the penis is there but remains unsaid at the same time. It's an avoid.